From Faith and Freedom Institute comes Freedom Focus with Gary Dahl and David Kistler. Freedom Focus is committed to encouraging America to return to the values of our founding fathers, as proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and the Bible. Now, here's Gary Dahl and David Kistler.
Well, we welcome you to our Friday edition of Freedom Focus, and coming to you from our studios in Hickory, North Carolina, this is Dave Kistler.
And from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, this is Sam Rohr.
And friends, Dr. Gary Dahl is not with us today. He is in the middle of taking care of something else relative to the expansion of this program. And so he was unable to make it back for the program today. So Sam and I will share the co-hosting duties. And we have got a lot to talk about that's very, very important. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But before I do, let me just give you a very quick update on our situation with Judge Roy Moore. We have not been able to procure him today for an interview, but he will be on, Lord willing, sometime next week. We're just waiting on our friends down there at the Alabama Supreme Court to get everything set up. And friends, please understand, they are dealing not only with their regular work routine down there now, all the added emphasis that they are getting, or added attention, I guess I should say, that they are getting because of Judge Moore's decision. And by the way, coming up this weekend, I want to strongly encourage you, Judge Moore is going to be interviewed by, one of the reporters with Fox. I can't remember who it is. I apologize for that. But anyway, I saw a little blip about it, a little blurb that he's going to be on. And so I would encourage you to check your local listings and watch Fox News this weekend. It may be Fox News Sunday that he's going to be on, and I'm sure it's a pre-recorded segment, but he is going to be on, and I promise you it'll be an insightful time. But he will be on with us very, very soon. And of course, if we have advance notice, which we may or may not have, we'll let you know that if we do have advance notice. But stay tuned to this program every day for vitally important information. Before we listen to the national anthem, Sam, I'm going to put you on the spot. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but have you got any special plans for Valentine's Day?
Well, Dave, you know, you could have potentially enormously embarrassed me, but fortunately, I am able to report to you and all those who are listening that I have been a good husband. I got my wife yesterday, came in the mail, ordered ahead of time, 18 long-stemmed roses, and they look very beautiful. And then tonight, we're going to go out with our Sunday school class from our church, and a nice sit-down dinner. And so, yes, I've tried to do everything right. You know that?
Well, Sam, listen, that's why I felt confident I could ask you the question, but I wouldn't be putting you on the spot.
You almost entrapped me, but I'm glad I was able to say I did right.
Well, you're doing outstanding, my friend. That is great stuff. And I'll just share this. My wife and I are going out tonight with some dear friends of ours, going to Asheville, North Carolina, for our first venture to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those. I've heard a lot about it, but never been. But tonight will be our first time. And so that's going to be part of our our Valentine's Day commemoration.
Well, good for you, Dave. I'm telling you, you never know what you may bring up. That was an appropriate thing. And I wonder if we've put a lot of guilt on listeners here today. I tell you, men, if you're listening, if you haven't done anything yet, you had better move quick.
Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why I brought it up, because tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So fellas, if you're not taking care of all of that, please do. Our wives, honestly, in all seriousness, are the greatest gift next to our salvation that we have. And amen. I'm so thankful for my bride. And Sam, I know you would echo that sentiment. So guys, get busy if you haven't already. Well, let's do this. A lot to talk about. Let's transition, listen to the national anthem, and then we'll be right back with you for some vitally important information.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming,
Land of the free and the home of the brave. Friends, we are blessed to live in the United States of America, and that is constantly underscored to me. But, Sam, yesterday I got a heads up of something that is now being quite widely reported all across the media, the news outlets, and that is that yesterday in the Anbar province in Iraq, there is a town by the name of al-Baghdadi that was captured by ISIS terrorists. And what has made this story so interesting and so vitally important to us in the United States is that about 13 minutes away from the city of al-Baghdadi, there is an air base called al-Assad. Now, I'm not going to mention the man's name, but when I wrote an article about this yesterday, encouraging our listeners and encouraging those on my email prayer team to pray earnestly for about 320 Marines that are at the al-Assad air base conducting training of Iraqi forces to try to resist this entity called ISIS. I got an email from a former well, I'll just say this. He is a retired full-bird colonel in the United States Marine Corps. He knew the al-Assad Air Base well. He said, Dave, I have been there. I know the base well. And he was deeply troubled and deeply concerned about what could potentially happen there. And I'll say no more about that, but I will say this. The al-Assad Air Base is a very well-fortified base, but if it were to be captured by these ISIS terrorists, it would be an enormous prize. And so the Defense Department yesterday acknowledged that there had been some heavy fighting around the air base, but basically denied that the base had come under attack. We now know that that is not the truth, that the base actually has come under attack. And so, friends, I want to strongly encourage you to pray for not just those 320 Marines over there, their families, but pray for our leaders. We have a real dichotomy going on right now in Washington, D.C. We have military leadership that says put boots on the ground. Here's what specifically needs to be done. We have an administration that's dragging their feet at every turn. And Sam, I know you have some perhaps more updated information about this situation going on over there in Iraq around this al-Assad air base. And so I'm going to tag out to you, let you share a little bit of that, if you would.
Well, I think, Dave, you kind of summarized what we know. I mean, obviously, this information has been slow to come forth, and I think it's part of our problem as concerned citizens. And oftentimes understanding and knowing what's going on. I think that's part of our overall issues that we have in the country, is that much of what comes out of Washington, be it about what's happening on the ground, be it in Ukraine or over here now in Iraq or Afghanistan or any of these areas, we unfortunately deal with a great deal of misinformation or late information. And so that's being the case. Now, you are correct. There's 320 Marines that are there. The fact of the matter is they have come under attack. The fact of the matter is there is grave concern what's taking place. There have been some airstrikes, evidently. There was the ISIS members took advantage of some bad weather when the airstrikes were not able to be done, and they moved at the point of bad weather. Theoretically, there's been some repelling of those efforts, but on the other hand, again, I don't think we have the full scoop. But you are correct. I mean, if we understand, Dave, what's taken place there, ISIS and their efforts are being benefited already by the fact that they have taken over much of U.S. military equipment that was overrun in the past, and they've taken it. Over $1 billion they were able to take from banks, money that they found there that helped to finance our money that they have been using to finance their operations. And they've had access to some of the very finest American equipment that was either left in the hands of the Iraqi military and then was taken over because they fled when ISIS came after them. So you're not dealing with ragtag efforts. You are dealing with folks who are actually using some of our own equipment against ourselves. So this is a big deal. Now, at the same time, the president's been asking for authority to have greater military use against ISIS. There's a lot of effort going on there in Washington, a lot of discussion from congressmen saying, all right, now, President, what do you mean by this? And if we give you additional authority, really, who's it going to be used against? Can we be assured of where it's going to go? really an amazing thing that's happening. And so that was basically what I would say at this juncture. I say it's developing. I haven't heard very much. Only a couple sources have had this information out at all anyway. So I'm glad that you brought it up and that we're mentioning it here on this program.
Well, you know, Sam Reuters has reported some of this, but I will say yesterday a contact that Gary and I have who is very, very reputable passed the information on to me, and that's why I wrote the article that I wrote. I wrote it in great confidence, as I always am, whenever I get information from this source. But I did some checking, of course, as I always do, to verify some things. And anyway, I tell you what kept going through my mind all day yesterday. It's been, you know, going through my mind today as I prayed for these men and these women that are over there at the Al Asad airbase. I just kept thinking, you know, if ISIS were to overwhelm that airbase, if they were to take that over, Sam, can you imagine what they would do with 320 Marines based on what we have seen them do already, the way they post these horrific videos, beheadings, the burning of a Jordanian pilot alive, which was just absolutely indescribable in its horror. Can you imagine what they would do and how they would use this as a recruiting tool? So this is nothing that is casual. I know all of those that I've heard, and I've heard several this morning, experts that are talking about the fact that if, you know, they were to launch an all-out assault, you know, weather permitting, of course, weather allowing us to initiate airstrikes, because we would see them if they were to, you know, mobilize and launch an all-out assault, and they would be very vulnerable to airstrikes, supposedly, and I'm sure that's true. But the weather element that you brought up, Sam, is the component that a lot of people are not talking about. But if they were to successfully launch an assault against this place and take it over, Sam, the end result would be absolutely catastrophic as far as how they would use that against us.
Well, you're totally correct. And again, you know, I tell, you know, for folks who are listening here, you know, we are, you know, witnessing clearly this is a matter of war. I mean, this is exactly what's taking place. It's an enemy in all that, as we know, in normal military terms. But there's something far more in here, Dave. And I think, you know, I'd like to, you know, your comment on this. But, you know, at the heart of it, wars throughout history have ultimately been a fight between evil and good. Righteousness and evil really have been at the heart of a lot of it. Here, those kinds of actions that you're talking about, where there are the beheadings and the burying alive of people and the sawing in half of young children, I'd say, David, this is demonic activity. This is not just something that's not good. It's evil. I don't know how to describe it other than it's demonically evil, and it's therefore something that rises far above a personal disagreement of whatever. This is an ideological war. This is that's taken the face of a physical conflict, and I do agree with you. I mean, we must pray hard for those that are there and for leadership that would come forth, that should come forth. I hope it comes forth to deal properly with this. But if they were to get a hold of these men, yes, indeed, they would deal with them just like we've seen, perhaps even worse than we've seen with these young children and these women that they have so deplorably just, you know, like I say, sawn asunder and done other things with. It's beyond our imagination as we sit here in America. But these folks are committed to doing the worst things even possible.
Well, Sam, I think you're correct in every way in describing them as pure evil. I was conversing with a gentleman the other night who has knowledge of some of this, and he said, Dave, there is one incident, and I'm just going to describe it. I think, you know, people need to understand what we're up against, where ISIS moved into a town. They went into a home. They videoed the entire thing. Here is an innocent Iraqi family. They take from the arms of the mother a little baby. They hold it up by the head, and with one pass, they sever the head from the body of that little one and then hand the baby back to her mother in two pieces. Now, Sam, that is as horrific and heartless as it can possibly be. And I heard one man describe it this way today. He said what these guys are doing, what ISIS is doing, would make those who perpetrated the Inquisition, those that were part of the Nazi regime of Hitler, it would make them stop and say, now, wait a minute, that's over the line. Now, that's saying a lot. If Nazis and those that were part of the Inquisition, according to this gentleman, would have to say these guys have stepped over the line, that lets you know the absolutely demonic, and that is the operative word, Sam, great choice of words. This is demonic evil in its purest form. And it must be stopped. And it goes to what we want to talk about next. And so we'll use this as our transition, and that is we need leadership. We need aggressive leadership coming from Congress. We need it coming from the White House. We need our commander in chief to have a clear understanding of what's taking place, and then a clear vision and a clear ability to articulate, you know, what we're going to do about it. There must be a game plan. And up to this point, it has been haphazard at the very best. There's obviously nothing substantive that has been done about ISIS. And if they're continued to allow their march of terror across, you know, Iraq and Syria and ultimately into the United States, which they will do, their whole design is to come here and wreak havoc here. If it's not stopped, then tragically, Sam, at some point that will happen. Now, let me ask this, and I'm not trying to be silly here, Sam, but you know what a selfie stick is?
Well, I didn't hear of it until recently. Go ahead and describe it, because it's an amazing thing.
It is indeed. It's a device whereby you can place your phone at the end of what may be a 2.5 to 3 foot long stick. There is a mechanism on it that you can hold your phone out away from you, point the phone at yourself, and take a selfie. What surfaced yesterday, evidently filmed the day before, right after the announcement was made about this young lady, Ms. Mueller, that was killed by ISIS, this humanitarian aid worker, American citizen that was killed by them. Right after that was announced, the president went into a session whereby he was videoed, and the video is being done in order to promote Obamacare, trying to bring into Obamacare the millennial generation, the younger set. And Sam, I have seen the video of the president snapping pictures of himself using this device called a selfie stick, winking, making faces. I mean, I'm just going to say it. It's childish. It's a childish display. And our dear friend, Todd Starnes, that at least for the first time for me, I met him up in Washington, D.C. a few months back when we were there for the Value Voters Summit. Todd Starnes has an excellent piece about it. It's a video segment. So to lead into our discussion about this, Sam, I'm going to play this. And then I want to get your thoughts on it as we talk a little bit about leadership and the lack of it in the United States of America coming from our commander in chief. Here's Todd Starnes.
Hello, I'm Todd Starnes. Is President Obama a narcissist? That is the subject of today's American Dispatch. On the same day the Islamic State announced the death of American hostage Kayla Mueller, President Obama was doing this on BuzzFeed.
Now, what's on the screen now is these images that I referenced of the president making faces, snapping pictures of himself with this selfie stick using a camera.
Sweet Lord Almighty, that is the leader of the free world, America. It might be worth pointing out a study released by The Ohio State University. Their research finds men who post selfies are more likely to be narcissistic. Imagine that.
Sam, I'm going to stop it there. I don't know if you've seen the video clip that that was played there briefly on Todd Starnes as he was making his comments there. Just your thoughts. Is this presidential? Is this leadership? Is this even appropriate for the leader of the free world to be acting in this way, especially on the day that it's announced that ISIS has killed an American citizen?
Dave, it is not even close to appropriate. It's not the kind of thing that under any regard is becoming of a leader, period, of an adult leader, particularly of a president, someone who is at the highest level of civil government. But Dave, you used the word beforehand. You talked about childish actions. I want to take our attention, if I could, to just a couple of verses from the book of Isaiah, because I believe it describes exactly where we are. It says, I'm just going to read a few verses. It's talking about Judah and Jerusalem, and God's judgment says, behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the diviner, the elder, the captains of 50s, the honorable men, the counselors, the skilled artisans, and the expert enchanters, talking about the leadership of that nation, takes him away. And he said, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed. Now, Dave.
Wow, Sam.
This is a description of where we are. You used the word, we hadn't talked about this ahead of time. This deals exactly, was that childish behavior? Yes, it is. What does God say comes to the nation that rejects him? Well, one mark of it is a devoid and a lack of leadership. And so what you have is you have adult bodies, but the hearts and the vision and the minds of children. I will give children to be their princes. Those are the rulers in civil government. I'm going to give you children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them and will oppress the people. Dave, I don't know of a verse in Scripture that talks more about where we are, because when you have babes or children in positions of authority, they do this exact type of thing. They fail to lead. They move to the bottom. They act like children. They disregard those things of importance, and they put in its place the silliness, the nonsense, the foolhardiness of this world, and cause all of those who understand truth to stand off and say, "What in the world is happening?" Exactly what we're doing right now. This is exactly what we're doing, bringing this to light. Todd Starnes brought it to light. But what are we describing? We're describing babes that are over us. And that's a mark of judgment on a nation. And I believe that's where we are right now. And that's why we must pray for those who are in positions of authority. And that's why we must be, as God's people, far more active in trying to impact our culture biblically, because there is no way out with children who are at the helm of a nation, let alone what we're talking about right now. I think you can see the point. What are your comments, Dave?
Well, Sam, of course, the passage you're referring to is Isaiah 3, verse 4. And friends, I would challenge you to take your Bible down and read that section of Scripture that Sam just quoted, because that is exactly what we are observing take place tragically with the leadership in the United States of America. Sam, I want to ask you this. It's, you know, there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things that have happened under the leadership, quote unquote, of President Barack Obama over the last 6+ years. But it seems like with every passing month, we are experiencing a new depth, if I could use the term, of degradation, a depth of silliness, a depth of just almost that which is can only be described as being ludicrous coming from those that are supposed to be our leaders. The language that we sometimes hear coming from the lips of our national leadership, and I'll reference, you know, our vice president, who's been caught on a hot mic, you know, using terminology that ought not ever be uttered anywhere, much less being caught on a microphone. Sam, do you believe that from what I understand that you're saying from that passage in Isaiah is that this kind of behavior is not that which brings God's judgment? This is the kind of behavior that is God's judgment on a nation that's turned its back on Almighty God. And we have about 30 seconds. I'll let you comment.
Dave, this is a mark of that which has already evidenced itself. This is a symptom of a problem. To one last sentence, a verse at the end. These children who are in authority, says they declare their sin as does Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, it says. These babes are arrogant. These princes, these individuals are arrogant in their sin, and they brazenly profess it. It is a mark of judgment. God's people hold the answer, and we'd better be on our face and our knees in prayer.
Friends, I want to strongly encourage you. Our time is up for today, but please pray for our nation. Pray for our national leadership. Stay tuned to this program. We try to bring everything back to a biblical foundation. And boy, today has been a prime time where we've been able to do that. Sam, thank you so much for your outstanding comments. And friends, again, please continue to pray for those 320 Marines, that God will have mercy on them, and pray for our national leadership, that we will not only turn back to God, but that leadership will be exerted in a way that's going to be good for the United States of America. Because apart from it, friends, we're in deep, deep trouble. Well, this is Dave Kistler.
And this is Sam Rohr.
And we say join us again on Monday for our next installment of Freedom Focus. But until that time, walk by faith, but stand for freedom.
You've been listening to Freedom Focus with Gary Dahl and David Kistler. To contact Freedom Focus or the Faith and Freedom Institute, visit our website, faithandfreedominstitute.com. Email ffi@faithandfreedom.com. Call 814-207-0102. Or write to the Faith and Freedom Institute at 1031 Poland Avenue, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16601. Faith and Freedom have united to make America the best nation on earth.